This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Everyone, and a ho-ho-ho, the Jolly Bitter Fat Man of professional wrestling. No, I'm not Kevin Owens. I am Dr. Dave Dutton.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny f***ing K.
And joining me right now is my jolly old elf himself. It's Zane Peterson. How you doing, Mr. Elf?
Well, Mr. Dave, I guess you told me a little bit ago that you weren't feeling very oosy these days.
No, not feeling very oosy. I wish I was feeling oosy, or would have been at the event at Devotion Championship Wrestling. But I was not, because I'm not feeling very oosy.
Well, what's the deal?
Sinus infection and cough, and it also leads to some other situations that we shall not talk about at this time.
I know. Well, you missed a good show.
It was the fourth anniversary of Devotion Championship Wrestling, and you were there, man. Tell us about it.
I was there, and guess what I did even?
What did you did even?
You're guessing. I even got the meet and greet.
You did?
So.
You must have come into some extra money.
You know, it's one of those things. It's not an everyday opportunity that you get to meet one of your childhood heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, DDP, he looks great.
Oh, he should. He does, doesn't he?
He's probably pushing 60, isn't he?
Oh, I think he's at least that.
I mean, and I never realized how tall he was. You know, you see him on TV and stuff, and that definitely doesn't do him any justice at all. I mean, he was a tall, lean, mean dude. You know, my kid was like the only, Jackson was like the only young kid to go to the meet and greet.
Oh, really?
And everybody loved him. Diamond Dallas Page was like, get up here. Get up on this chair so I can see you. And he shakes his hand and he's like, what's your name, young man? And he put him in a, he's like, I'm going to give you a diamond cutter, okay?
Yeah, you sent me a picture of that. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Jackson's like, oh, crap. This big old dude's going to give him a diamond cutter. He's like, oh, crap.
Well, now Jackson had the diamond cutter put onto him by DDP. Yeah. And he also was body slammed by Rekha Tahaka last year.
You know, what?
We'll get back to that.
Privileged, Dave. Privileged. This kid is 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
Let's go down the list, okay?
Okay.
He has met Doc Gallows.
Yes.
He has met Kevin Nash. Mm-hmm. He has met DDP. He has been in the ring and wrestled Rekha Tahaka and Manny Lemons. He has been, he also met Josh Alexander, the Impact World Champion, and he met one of my favorites. She absolutely loved him, Camille Brickhouse, NWA current Women's Championship. She's like, oh my gosh, I love your name. And she even stood up out of her chair to give Jackson a little squeeze.
Oh,
so
that's cool. And it was Eric Bischoff at the meet and greet.
Yeah. And he was a little bit like, who's this guy? I mean, I guess I'm just an idiot. I don't know. What do you say in those situations? I'm like, see this guy, Jackson. I said, this is Eazy-E, Eric Bischoff. I said, he's one of the creators and founders of the NWO. I said, look at this picture. We got a picture autographed from Eric Bischoff of him with Hulk Hogan and, you know, a bunch of NWO guys. And I says, do you think he knows Hulk Hogan? And Eric's like, yeah, I know Hogan really well. And, you know, so he was, I think Eazy-E had been hitting the hinting the sauce a little bit because somebody there was a slight bit. It's like, oh, it's only 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, they had a little bit too much nog in their eggnog, huh?
Yeah, I guess, but it's all good. Eric was super cool. He's, you know, he really was a nice guy, and he, you know, he came out before the match and just kind of gave everybody a little spiel on how, you know, these guys that are here for independent wrestling, he's like, this is truly really where wrestling is mm-hmm. on the independent level. He says, you know, these guys, he says, a lot of these guys will never catch a break. He says, they may not ever end up in any of the big leagues. And he says, but they're here and they're putting their, you know, their talent and they're here to entertain you guys. And it was cool, though. It was super cool to see these guys.
Well, I'm slightly jealous, and I know you're going to be sending me my Diamond Dallas Page autograph, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. Do you think you got one?
I asked you for one. I asked Santa Claus.
Have you been good for Christmas?
No,
Dan?
I haven't. I've been naughty, but not nice. Yeah,
I have a friend who couldn't be here tonight, who is a huge fan of yours, and he's had a little bit of health setbacks tonight and fell ill and could not come. And he's like, what's his name? Let's get him some stuff. His name's
cool.
Dave.
Oh,
so he signed you a picture.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
So, yeah, he was super cool.
Well, you know, I remember Diamond Dallas Page. When he first started off, he was a manager. He was a manager in the old AWA. He was 37 years old when he first started mm-hmm. to get into the business.
Yep.
Started off as a manager. He's a big guy, like you said. Started doing some training. And how many people can have the kind of career in professional wrestling like he did, and they didn't really get started until the age of 37? Then he was a manager, and he was learning his craft as he could being a manager, being a mouthpiece, and he was always great on the mic in the old AWA. And then he started getting more bumps and started getting into the ring more. And, man, when he came up with that diamond cutter, that finish and that bang and the self high five, I've been a big fan for years.
Oh, yeah, talk about a childhood hero. I mean, you know, when I was in, you know, God, what would have been? You know, eighth, ninth grade, something
right.
like that, you know,
uh-huh.
13, 14 years old. I mean, that guy was that guy was who I wanted to be when I grew up. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, always I told you, you know, you don't have a ton of time in those things. And,
no.
And it's just like, you know, you're just like, hey, you know, but they were super nice. And I told Eric and DDP, I said, this is really cool of you guys to come to little old Salt Lake City and be able to, you know, put this type of an event on for fans and stuff. I said, that's really cool. And thanks for coming all the way to Utah. And Eric said, you know, he said, we have a lot of fun doing this. He said, you know what? He said, we might even have more fun than you tonight.
Wow. That is so cool.
Like, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple of podcasts ago, I had Manny Lemons on with me, and Manny we were talking about Doc Gallows and Machine Gun Carl Anderson, who came to Salt Lake City for one of the DCW events earlier this year, and they were supposed to be at the 4th anniversary show, but what happened? They signed with WWE and had to cancel, and Manny was, you know, he said, man, I can't tell him not to do that.
It was a bummer because they were booked for December 3rd, and...
Right.
You know, the funniest thing in the world is I was actually texting Gallows probably about, I want to say an hour before they debuted on Raw, saying, hey, send me your information so we can get these flights booked. He says, okay, hold on, give me a second. I was like, okay, whatever, you know, he's probably busy. All of a sudden, I get a text message. I get like 10 text messages from people. Hey, how does this affect your pay-per-view? And I says, you son of a... But I'm as happy as hell for them, man. Like, those are two people, like, I've been around them and be able to learn around them. And not just, like, to be a better person, but to be a better performer, you know? Like, and it's, like, being around those two. They're two of the biggest stars of they're going to be two of the biggest stars of all time. And the fact that I've had the tender to be around them and learn and be involved and know their family and know that, you know what they're all about, like, that's humbling. And to me, I just see it as more of an opportunity. Like, I have more friends who work for the WWE than anywhere else.
Wow.
It's an exciting time, man. And you just never know. And that's why you can never quit the grind, because, you know, people talk. It's all about who knows you and who's willing to bench for you. You know what I mean?
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
That's why they weren't there. But we were talking, and I said on Manny's YouTube channel, which is called The Lemonade Stand, he had video of Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson as they were coming into Salt Lake, and he was driving them to an event. And Carl Anderson was talking about how beautiful Utah is and the mountains and everything. And Manny says, you know, these guys, when you are on the road, and Manny's been on the road a lot this past year, he says, you're either driving to or from an event. You don't ever get a chance to stop and enjoy what's going on in that city or that area that you're going to be in, because you're gone the next day. And they were both here for a couple of days and said how much that Carl and Doc really enjoyed Utah. And I thought that was very insightful to talk about how much the road life is really tough on these guys. They're like rock stars, and they don't really get to get out and enjoy some of the good things that we do living in a beautiful area of the country like we do.
Well, you know, we've talked about that a lot of these guys. I mean, being on the road for literally 300 plus days a year. You know, I wonder, you know, if the whole COVID thing, if it gave these guys a break, or if that was just a totally different animal worth dealing with. I mean, we don't need to discuss that right now, right. But, you know, some of these places I know, like, that's why a lot of these guys will take the salary cut and go to places like Impact and some of these places, because, you know, they go and they go to wherever and film for, you know, do a bunch of TV tapings for 3 or 4 days, and then they go back home. Whereas, you know, WWE and some of these larger promotions, I mean, they're on the road all the time.
Well, that's an interesting subject you're bringing up there, because there's been news about the Revival, the tag team champions for ROH. Let's see, they are also the tag team champions in AAA, and I think in one of the Japanese promotions. So they have 3 belts right now. And you know, everyone's saying, when are you going to go after the All Elite Tag Team Champions? And they still might do that. But the news is out that the FTR is considering not necessarily stepping away from the business forever, but maybe taking a little bit of a hiatus and just enjoying more independent wrestling shows and being able to pick and choose where they go and when they go and be able to enjoy their families just a little bit more, because they've had great success traveling literally all over the world with all these belts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're taking on top talent and top-notch talent just almost every night of the week, and it does take a toll on the body.
Another fairly decent name that was there was Fandango from the former WWE performer. His independent name is Dirty Dango.
Right. And okay, let me ask you a little trivia question about Dirty Dango. His first match in the WWE, he won. Who did he beat? It was a WrestleMania match too.
Really?
Yeah. Chris Jericho.
I'm starting a new list. It's a list of stupid idiots. And all of you are on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were trying to get him over so quick when they came up with that gimmick of him being a ballroom dancer. And, boy, he pulled that off so well. He really did. So, yeah, he was there last night. And you texted me right when I realized who he was. I didn't recognize him right at first as the former Fandango.
He looks totally different. Uh-huh. Looks totally different. Bleached blonde hair. And, uh-huh. I mean, but he took on Martin Casals, a guy that a lot of Utah people are familiar with, former Tough Enough contender, and, you know, he's very prominent here in the Utah wrestling scene. Marty the Moth.
Yeah, Marty the Moth Martinez. Right. He was the Lucha Underground champion. And when he was the Tough Enough program, he was one of the favorites. He was never in the bottom three trying to get kicked out, you know, when they had to do all that. He was always in the safe zone, and he broke his ankle, and they had to send him home. So he was doing really well, one of the favorites to win it all. But, you know, things don't always go the way we want them to in life. And I remember once I was talking to Martin, and he was talking about what a great experience that was. And he says, and I still get text messages from Stone Cold Steve Austin, and we talk every once in a while. I went, cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I remember you and I saw him, I think it was at a UCW event shortly after his Lucha Underground run, and we both commented how crisp and his ring moves were.
Right.
And, you know, just a touch above all. That's not to discredit anybody who's, you know, but he was looking good.
Yeah, there's a little bit to be said for experience in professional wrestling. You learn things that work and don't work, and Martin was at the top of his game about that time we saw him at UCW. And I saw him a couple of years later. He and I actually were on a panel discussion about pro wrestling as so-called experts at a Comic-Con event in Salt Lake City several years ago. And so we sat next to each other on the panel, and then afterwards we talked for quite a while. And I saw Marty one more time at a Devotion event, and he wasn't going to wrestle. He was just there supporting his friends. So I went up and talked to him a little bit, and I was asking him how he was doing, and because I hadn't seen him anywhere for a long time, and he had really hurt his back very, very badly, and he was trying to avoid surgery, and he did avoid that surgery, and he's doing well right now.
Yeah, he looks pretty good in the ring.
Yeah.
I feel for some of these guys because, I mean, I honestly thought for sure we would see him at NXT.
Oh, me too.
Within a year or two after that. And, injuries, things. And you know, maybe he didn't. I don't know. I'm not going to comment what he, because I don't know Martin. I mean, we've had him on the podcast. He's a really nice guy.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't want to do that. Maybe some guys don't want to be in the WWE or maybe they don't want to be. Maybe they're totally content being on the independent scene and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, you know, it might be a thing that he just wants to wrestle and have fun and make a few extra bucks on the weekends, you know? So, you know, we don't know that for a fact, but we wish him the well because we've had him on the podcast a couple of times and been able to talk to him just a couple other times. It's been a lot of fun getting to know him.
Yeah. There was a couple guys, I wish I could remember some of their names, but a couple guys were there that were former UCW Zero guys. One guy was there that last night. He played a kind of a heel character at UCW Zero where he was like the interim GM or something. He wore a suit and tie, and it wasn't MK, but it was
Johnny Bravo. Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
And he was one of my favorites at UCW Zero. Yeah. I loved watching him in the ring.
There.
Yeah.
He was there last night.
Yeah. I hope he comes back.
I complimented him and told him, I said, hey, you did a really good job. I wish I had a little more time, you know, when those guys are busy and they're trying to take things down. And I don't, you know, you don't want to take too much of their time because they got to get out of there and they got to go get some sleep too. I mean, you think they just put on a match and they're probably hurting and things. But I told him, I said, I wish I would have thought about that to say something to him about that. But he looked fantastic.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But super, super cool to see a lot of people there last night and a lot of local people, a lot of people that were on fairly high levels of, you know, in larger promotions, you know, NWA Women's Champion Camille Brickhouse. Okay, mm-hmm. So I got to tell you.
Okay. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Don't laugh at me, okay? We've talked many times, and again, Dave and I are the farthest thing from chauvinistic or sexist or anything like that. Okay, I would dare say that we're, you know, pretty, I don't know, what you'd know these words and these terms more than I would.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Dave's always treated his ladies with respect, you
That's
know.
That's right, baby. Oh, baby.
But Camille, baby. I said to Camille, we were kind of waiting for Josh Alexander. We were getting his signature, and I said, hey, I just need to tell you. I said, I don't want to be that guy or whatever. I said, I know that some people have a hard time with taking compliments and stuff these days. I said, but I just want to tell you that you are absolutely beautiful. And I said that you are more beautiful in real life than you are on television.
Dude, I am so jealous.
Like,
and you know, we're both fans of her in ring work too, and what she does. She is gorgeous, knocked
like,
down dead.
Oh,
gorgeous.
Thank you so much. And, oh, that was so nice. And Josh Alexander's like, hey, why can't you say something like that to me?
Because you ugly,
so
Josh. You be ugly.
Yeah, so they were having, they were having fun. I think everybody there last night really enjoyed their time. Well, except for one guy. I'll tell you a story if there's anything else. I got to tell you a story too about another guy when you get a sec.
Okay, but
you go take over for a second. I'll tell you the story.
Okay,
tell them what's on your mind about last night.
Okay, well, I was watching it last night on pay per view because of the illness that we talked about, and I thought I was really going to be losing my voice Friday afternoon. My voice was really deep and getting gravelly and. So I still have my voice, which is a good thing for somebody who has worked in radio for the past 45 years. But as I was watching it last night, what I was enjoying was how the wrestlers themselves were trying to interact with the audience. And you could see Sim Bodhi, after he lost his match, you could hear him actually yelling out to the crowd, "I love you guys." And he's a weird fella, you know, as he was going back into the dressing room, he shouted out, "I love you guys." And I think that a performer, and I think you and I have discussed this before, when you are a performer on any kind of stage and it gets into your blood, you'll want to do it wherever or whatever chance you get. It's just something that you can't describe. Getting in front of some people and have them enjoying what you do and that you've worked on so hard to honor your craft, whatever it is, it's really something that can get into your blood, and that's what I saw a lot of last night from these performers, new and old too. So it's fun.
Yeah, and you know, Sim Bodhi, a lot of people may not remember him. He was Kazarni in the WWE for a while.
Right. Short run.
But he is very, very, very well known in, I guess you'd say, kind of the behind the scenes as a trainer.
Uh-huh.
And he's very, very involved with I think, several wrestling schools. I know you think he has one of his own.
Yeah, he's involved with the Future Stars of Wrestling out of Las Vegas and...
Yeah. And he's very, I mean, to get trained by him, I think don't quote me on that, but I'm relatively certain it's a pretty big deal.
Uh-huh.
Because he's very, very well known in the training end of things. And if you talk to anybody, you know, like if they get the chance to be trained and work with Sim Bodhi, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And when he gave that double noggin knocker to MK and his wrestler, I was going, yeah. Because yeah. I love, you know,
I've seen him before in Salt Lake with, it was another promotion that it didn't last terribly long in Salt Lake.
Uh-huh.
I don't even remember what the name of it was, but Sim Bodhi was there one night and took on, I can't even remember who he took on. It was Josh Glade wrestled there for a while.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I've seen him before, mm-hmm. and he does good. He's getting old too, but he still looks great.
Right.
Still does good. I mean, he is an ugly sucker. I mean, tattoos all over. Yeah. He's pretty.
That was Zane Peterson, ugly. Who lives in central Utah, not the Dave Denton who lives in northern Utah. Sim Bodhi, you can find him in central Utah. Not me, Dave Denton, in northern Utah. But you is ugly.
Yeah,
I was only serious.
I take almost everything back I just said.
Almost everything. So are you ready to tell me your story?
Okay. So I sometimes I wonder why people even show up to these events. If they're not there to have a good time,
right.
It's like, go the hell home. There was this guy, you know, here I go. And I, you know me, I'm not terribly offended or anything by foul language or anything like that. But there's this guy sitting behind me. And the whole time, he's just shaking his head, rolling his eyes. And he's commenting to the people next to him. What the F is this shiz? What the F is this? You know, how much do you think these mother effers paid Manny to get in the ring? Oh my gosh, these efforts, they suck so bad. And
and
finally, thank goodness, me and Jackson moved down, a couple seats were open, and to make room for people coming in a little bit late, we did move down. So I didn't have to sit and listen to him, but I was just kind of like, you know, these guys, not once has anybody ever stood up in the middle of an independent wrestling ring and said, hey, bring in the WWE superstars and compare us like for like with them.
Right.
You know, these are guys who have full-time jobs during the week, and they love and they live to get in the ring because it gives them a chance to be somebody else. You know, it gives them a chance to, you know, everybody in their life is looking for an out.
Right.
Some people turn to drugs. You know, some people turn to, you know, I enjoy fishing,
mm-hmm.
and being in the outdoors. And I enjoy things like, you know, like what we're talking about today, professional wrestling and stuff. But these guys, you know, this is what they love to do. And this is something that they wait their whole, you know, sometimes a month, several months for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Devotion Championship Wrestling has a show every month,
right?
Typically, and I'll bet you if you talk to any of these guys, they can't wait to get in that ring. I mean, they're at the training center a couple nights a week. I mean, some of these guys basically dang near live at that training center, just trying to improve their skills.
Now, you didn't recognize this guy. You didn't recognize this guy, did you? I mean, you didn't say, oh, I've seen him before someplace or anything like that. And I'm coming down to a reason for that.
I don't know. He was sitting behind me, and he was okay. A jerk. But
well,
anyways.
You know, when you are doing a thing like Manny does, there are sometimes you have to be the bad guy and tell someone that they're not progressing enough, they're not talented enough, or they're not ready to move on into the ring. And I would suppose, and because Manny said this to me one time when I was talking to him, that not everyone in the wrestling community likes him, but does every promoter have someone that, you know, all the former wrestlers like him? No. And does everybody like Zane Peterson? No. Does everybody like Dave Denton? No. Sometimes there are personality conflicts, and sometimes, I would almost bet, not knowing 100%, I almost would bet that he's had a run-in with Manny somewhere, and because he knew who Manny was, and he was trying to ruin his show by showing that he's an ass, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to put it out that way. And no, you can't please everyone all the time, especially in the industry. And I'm not saying the wrestling industry. I'm talking the entertainment industry. And I'm going to give you a great example, okay? one of the biggest stars in movies out right now, and he has a Christmas movie that a lot of people love. They watch it all the time, and I can't stand watching him on the screen. He grates on me. That is Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like Will Ferrell, but do other people like him? Hey, that's cool by me. I don't care. You know, it's just not for me. And I think that's probably what you ran into with somebody that had some kind of problem with Mr. Lemons.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't comment on that, but regardless of which, it's like, and then the guy, you know, like I said, the whole time he sat there, then he gets up and leaves and leaves all his trash, you know, sitting there. And,
yeah, he's an idiot.
And I'm just like, why do you even come?
Yeah.
Why even come to a show? You know, I've got a 9-year-old next to me that, like I said, the foul language thing, whatever, you know, everybody talks that way these days, and it is what it is. I can't, you know, you and I can't stop anybody from talking the way that they're going to talk.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's supposed to be a family show, and I just kind of thought that was really ignorant. You know, and then there's people, you know, that, because sometimes these shows, like with guys like, you know, DDP being there and some of these larger names, they'll draw people in who aren't necessarily Devotion Championship Wrestling fans.
Correct.
That they're just there to kind of see, you know, they might have bought the meet and greet and they're like, oh, well, we'll stay for the event or whatever. So sometimes these types of events get crowds that aren't necessarily usually independent wrestling fans.
Correct.
I should say.
Right.
We saw that. I believe you and I commented on that at a show we went to that had several Lucha Libre stars in it, and it wasn't a very good show.
Right. I remember.
And because it brought a totally different crowd in. That you and I, you know, we've talked about that behind the scenes quite a bit of, you know, totally different crowd and stuff that was there that night. It wasn't a super enjoyable event.
Right. We'll come right back with more of our conversation with Zane Peterson here on Turnbuckle Trash. But up first, we want to talk a little bit about a couple of other podcasts that I do. One's called Radio Guy Reflections. It's available on many of these same podcast channels or at daysvoiceworks.com. Dave's Voice Works is spelled W-O-R-X when you spell works. Now, I do Radio Guy Reflections, where I talk with other radio people about radio, and also something called the 3W News. 3W News is some of the weird, wacky, and wild news stories of the last couple of weeks that you might have missed in the mainstream media when we kind of put it on its head. It's a lot of fun, and it's all available on daysvoiceworks.com. That's daysvoiceworks when you spell works, W-O-R-X. Reflections.
Too many people in this business who think that they're, I guess it's a podcast, their stuff doesn't stink. You know, it's just like, hey, look, we're all just enjoying the game. We're all just having a good time. Sports are supposed to be fun. Don't take yourself too seriously. Let's go have a good time and really paint a great picture for the fans out there.
I wanted to be me. I didn't want to put on a show. I wanted to, obviously, a show, but I didn't want to be fake on the air. What you get is what you get.
You know, that would be a fascinating career. I want to witness history in a way and see it and tell the compelling stories of it.
When did you find out he is autistic?
When you get that diagnosis, it's not necessarily a shock to you, but it's validating how you've been feeling.
I can't imagine what the future of talk radio could have been or would have been had Rush not come along when he did.
This is Radio Guy Reflections.
Let's take out the trash.
Roger that.
No, not that kind of trash.
Not what kind of trash?
Wait, so we're not taking out the actual trash?
No, I meant it figuratively.
I spent a lot of time separating out the recyclable.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Now, while I was watching the show on pay-per-view, what they call a hard camera, which was facing towards where the entrance was. Yeah. So there was a guy in the audience there that if I hadn't known better, and I think as I got a better look at him, I could see that he was a little bit younger than the one I thought he was. I don't know if you've ever watched the TV show, The Curse of Oak Island, a reality show where they're looking for treasure off the Canadian coast. Okay.
Yeah, I love that show.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I love that show. Well, there was a guy there that looked like Mike, you know, the older brother of that show. I mean, I was going, I even told my wife, I said, I know it's not him, but man, does he look like him. And I finally got a look at him, and he looked like he's about maybe 15 years younger than Mike. But boy, he could be a stunt double for that dude. It was that, you know, I was watching all night long. Says, do you think that's him? No, I don't think so. But at least I don't think it was him. Well, why would he be doing it in Salt Lake?
Yeah,
anyway?
I don't know. Maybe he has a second home after all that treasure they found.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna go get a Spark City.
Get a little condo going there. And you know, remember DDP's ex-wife Kimberly lives in Park City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of celebrities that live in Park City or at least have a condo there that come skiing. And I was wondering today if a lot of these wrestlers that came in from out of town might have stayed over to get some skiing in Park City. Today. Yeah. I don't know that for a fact, but, you know, why not if you've got time and you don't have anything booked for a while? I know Buff Bichet had to leave early this morning to go to Los Angeles to wrestle again. He wrestled this evening in Los Angeles. So, and boy, is he getting good. We watched him from almost the very beginning, some of his first matches, and he's been training and wrestling and working on his body. They call him the Quad Daddy now, and he's been on NWA. He took on Nick Aldis one time and almost beat him. He's been training at the Nightmare Factory, been performing all over the South, and wherever he can go, he's been doing very, very well. And he defended his championship last night in a Fatal 4-Way. So, he's really has improved his work.
And, guess who caught his shades last night?
Who caught his shades last night?
My kid.
No! Jackson caught the shades from Buff?
He caught Brett Buff's shades. We were just kind of milling around for a sec, waiting for the show to start. And he's like, hey, little man, get over here. Do you want to, you know, do you want to see Brett Buff's shades? Win tonight or this or that, you know, I said, Jackson, I said, ask him where his sweet shades are. And so Jackson's like, where's your sweet shades? He's like, my shades. I was like, oh man. He's like, you like my shades? And Jackson's like, yeah. he's like, you're getting my shades tonight. He's like, you make sure you get my attention when I come in. He's like, because I'll be looking for you. And so Jackson stood up on his seat and was waving his arms and Brett Buffet pointed at him and took his shades off and tossed them to him, and he caught him.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool.
he's pretty cool. He's pretty like, he's like, they're a little bit dirty, but wow. So funny to hear.
Yeah, you sent me a picture of him with those shades on. Oh, that is so cool. Hey,
it was pretty funny. It was a fun night.
Yeah, it was. And then, you know, we got to take our hats off to Reka Tahaka and Camille for putting on a stellar match for the NWA women's title. And Reka has worked for the past 3 years on her craft so much. She's appeared on AEW Dark. She's trained at the Nightmare Factory. That little reality show that Cody Rhodes did that was on TNT for a year. She was on that quite a bit while she was training. She's on Women of Wrestling. She wrestles all over the country and did a great job against Camille. And that's the second time that I know of that they've wrestled for that title. And Camille's come out on top twice. And then Manny and Josh Alexander. And, boy, you could tell those were two guys that knew what they were doing in the ring. They knocked it out of the park, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, they did really good. You know, and I, you know, you and I saw Manny a long time ago in UCW Zero.
Right.
And back, I don't even know if it was Manny Lemons back then, but I remember it was one of the first matches we went to. And I said, oh, I know that guy or know of him. I said, I think he's, you know, but I had him confused with Martin Casals back then because I said, I think he did some stuff on Tough Enough, but it wasn't Manny. Obviously, it was Martin, but that was a long time. I mean, that's been almost 10 years ago.
I know.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
But who knew that little scrawny Manny Smith was going to be, I mean, the guy looks great. He's been, like you said, working on his physique. He's been working on his, you know, what does he say? Train insane or remain the same or
right,
something like that.
Yeah.
And so he is always, always seems like he's always training and he's always doing things. And
he goes to the gym twice a day to work out.
Wow.
That's what he told me in the last podcast. So,
wow. You know, and if I think that it's fantastic if, you know, I was going to ask you one thing about that is, you know, some of these guys like Manny and Brett and Rekha and stuff, you know, is this their full-time job or do they have other things that they do?
Well, most of the people that are in Devotion are usually – local, have other jobs. But Manny is making his living now as a professional wrestler and the promotion end of it with DCW. And then several weekends, he will be back in town with other promotions, putting on events around the state of Utah. And like back in September, I think it was, he was in Logan with a lucha group, and he came up and provided some wrestlers there. So that's how he's making his living. And Rekha, I think she pretty much makes her living with making appearances everywhere. And, of course, whenever you go to a show like that and you can buy some merch, some pictures and stuff, it helps these guys out because that's where they can really make their money. They might make a small appearance fee, some of the lesser-known wrestlers, but I imagine a lot of them are just looking to get into the ring to get out there and make a name for themselves. Like Bud Birch has only been doing it for a year, and he looked great. In his match, he was in there in that opening match, the Battle Royal, and he looked good. And, you know, Andrew Sowell, I'm not quite sure. Andrew helps the wrestling school out and takes care of that, but I'm sure he does other things. And by the way, I got to say to Andrew, and I send him a message because we're friends on Facebook and we message each other every once in a while. And he came out with his wrestling gear, and he has a ring jacket now that I don't know how much money he spent to make that ring jacket, but man, it looks good. I mean, it is fantastic. It looks like it could be leather with his face on it and everything. And he took on Juicy Finau. You remember that match, the big Tongan kid, over 400 pounds? Mm-hmm. That kid is from Utah, and he just recently signed with Major League Wrestling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've seen him on a couple of NWA events. I saw him on Championship Wrestling from Atlanta, and, you know, he's done some stuff like that. But he recently signed with MLW, which is probably, I would say, the top independent wrestlers, if you want to talk them being an independent. They're probably one of the top independent wrestling companies right now.
That's cool. That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of things you really like to hear. You know, that's the things that you really like to see is these, anybody local and anybody who can make this, if this is what their dream and their desire is, then, you know, obviously they should go for it.
Right.
You know,
go as far as they want to go. If they just decide to do it just for fun, you know, in the area, make a couple extra bucks and, you know, maybe use it to stay in shape or whatever it is. Who's gonna tell them no? You know, unless there's no promotion around. And now we're starting to get several promotions in the state of Utah. So, be interesting to see how that goes.
Well, so You've mentioned, I was going to hit you up about that too, speaking of the local wrestling. There's been some newer names out there. Is Dive Wrestling still?
Yeah, they're still going. I think next weekend they have their second anniversary show at Dive Wrestling.
And then the rumor on the street was that UCW Zero was going to start up again after COVID, but I haven't seen that yet.
Well, they actually did one event that Manny actually helped out with and performed at.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he and Steve Nelson got in the ring together, and they haven't been the best of friends. But, you know, they put their differences aside to be able to, you know, put on an event for somebody, and it went really well. And there's a new promotion coming to Salt Lake City, and I'm trying to see if I can find it, but I don't know if I can. But they're having several wrestlers who we saw at UCW Zero or have seen in other organizations that we haven't seen in DCW for a while that have signed with them. One was Otto Von Klutsch. One was Tombstone. Yeah, really, Tombstone, yeah. Jesus said he's going to be part of that. So I'll find out more about that, and hopefully we can get one of the promoters on or a couple of the wrestlers before they – I think their first event is coming up in February.
Well, you know, the more the merrier. You know,
exactly.
As long as I hate to see you know, enemies in the business. I mean, we definitely don't want to see that. You know, hopefully all these promotions can – get along and work together. And, you know, we've talked about that a lot. You know, that they used to do that a lot in the territories. You know, they, although they were competitions, you know, or competitors,
right,
they weren't enemies,
right,
you know. And so I like to hear that of these companies getting together and sharing talent and sharing, you know, anything they can to make it better for Utah.
Right.
You know, I don't like when, you know, there's like AEW fans hate WWE fans and WWE fans hate, you know, you and I are wrestling fans. We're not promotion fans.
Like, I was just looking at Tombstone at his Facebook page, and he's going to be wrestling in Colorado Springs Wrestling next weekend. And it looks like Manny's going to be there, and Rekka, and, you know, they're doing events. He's been wrestling. Oh, okay, here it is. STF Pro Wrestling. STF Pro Wrestling. And I haven't sent him a message yet, but I will, try to find out more about their promotion and where they're going to be and all that, because we want to support all of the wrestling in the state of Utah. And Dive Wrestling's having their second anniversary next week. And I just think, you know, just get out there and find something that you enjoy and get out there and have a heck of a time.
We want success for everybody here.
Exactly.
And it's always an open invitation for, you know, anybody to reach out to Dave Denton. You can find him on Facebook. I apologize. I haven't been on social media lately, but we should still have a Facebook page. And
yes,
I know
we
still have a Twitter page, and occasionally I'll update Twitter and occasionally I'll jump on there, but it's just better for me to stay off of social media. Everybody's like, well, you can be on social media and not engage. And I'm like,
now,
no, I can't.
We are working.
I can't. I...
We are working with to get on Tim Beck. Now, Tim is a recent enrollee with Turnbuckle Trash. And he lives, I think, right outside of Murray, Kentucky. And he also knows an old promoter. And Tim is, he collects wrestling autographs. And he has some connections with people that do, you know, memorabilia and an older promoter. And we're going to try to all get together and have a podcast talking about collections and also some old stories from a promoter, somebody that's been in Kentucky and Tennessee and probably had some dealings with people like Jerry Jarrett and Jerry the King Lawler and Bill Dundee in that area. So It'd be kind of fun to talk to him, and we're still trying to set that up. It should be soon.
You know, I was hoping that this whole going into business for myself would open up a little more time and opportunity to, try to figure out Jeez Louise.
But there are certain things that make it worthwhile, and then, but no job is perfect. I've told you that a million times. So
yes, there are goods and bads, but hopefully one day I'll be able to figure out how to manage my time and make it to somebody said the other day, they said, you need to learn two little letters when you're in business for yourself. N-O.
Yeah. Every once in a while you have to, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, it can be definitely difficult at times, but I'm super grateful for everything that we have and that we're able to make a living and I'm able to do it by myself. And, you know, I am able to take some time off and go, you know, like I was at the week before Thanksgiving, I took a week off and went to Arkansas for a week.
What part of Arkansas, man?
In central Arkansas to a town called Conway.
Oh, yeah.
I got a really good friend that lives just outside of Conway. So I flew into Little Rock and spent some time with him, did a little whitetail hunting and a few things like that while we were back there. It was nice to get away for a minute, but boy, when you come back, it's like, oh man, why did I leave?
Yeah. And of course, Conway, Arkansas is where Conway Twitty got his name.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he looked at a map trying to figure out a name he was going to use because his real name is Harold, I think it is. And he looked at a map and found Conway, Arkansas, and Twitty, I think Michigan. And that's what he came up with his name. Hmm. Great country star.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Hello, darling.
All
right. Well, but I'm glad you got to go to Arkansas. That's my old stomping grounds was in that area. So.
Yeah, you grew up in Tennessee, didn't you?
Yeah, I grew up about 2.5 hours from Conway, Arkansas, in Memphis. But I also worked south of Little Rock in a little town called Stamps, Arkansas, which is near Magnolia and that beautiful part of the country. So worked there for a while. So I'm very familiar with Arkansas.
Neat place, man. I'll tell you, it's neat out there. I would live back there. I think it's the South. It's a totally different dynamic than out here, and it's people are a little more friendly and a little more outgoing and just a little bit my kind of folks, you know, laid back and
rednecks.
A couple of vehicles on blocks in the driveway, you know, that's my kind of folks, you know, burn their garbage in the backyard. And, you know.
Have you ever watched the show?
Like
there's a show on one of the channels called Moonshiners. And it's
about as funny as a $3 bill, isn't it?
Yeah, but they get some of them people that talk real Southern and they have to put them on some of those, you know, they put the text on underneath them because people can't understand what a word they said, but I grew up back there and I understand everything that them people says. So, there's some situations there. You just kind of go, okay, but it's still fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of reality, I'll just throw this in real quick. My friend that I went back and visited, we went and saw his uncle's taxidermy shop and his uncle, was, on A&E, was it A&E? Did one season of a show called American Stuffers.
Okay.
And he had a reality TV show. He is well known in that area, especially the state and that region of the country, for get this, freeze drying your pets. He showed us. He has, you know, you talk. Everybody's all into these little freeze dryers that they have in their garage that they're freeze drying their food and stuff with. He has these freeze dryers that you could, it would fit you in there, Dave.
No way.
Maybe two of you, and he has a couple of those, and he embalms the pets.
Yeah.
Puts them in their little
whatever
position they want, and then he freeze dries them. It's a several month process.
But he makes money doing it, so people must be wanting their freeze dried poodle there.
Whatever. I guess that's not my thing. But,
no. Whatever. Freeze dried Rover. I don't know about that.
yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So. Well, anything else you want to discuss?
Just a little bit of, on the big leagues. Quite a few things going on there. We did have Survivor Series last week.
Correct.
I know you and Chris talked about that a little bit. But seems to be a lot of the WWE seems to be really fun right now. I'm really enjoying Triple H's product. It is kind of funny to read things on the interweb it's just everybody's several of these websites and news things that I follow, they're super excited for Triple H to take over, and
right.
And now it's like, oh, is Triple H the man for the job? And it's just like, oh my God, shut up. Just shut up. Enjoy the product.
Well, you got to admit this situation with the Bloodline, and from what I can understand, Sami Zayn, when they were cutting a promo on a SmackDown a couple of weeks ago, when he was talking to Jey Uso, and it says, you just don't feel you don't feel Usy enough. And it just took off. And now everyone is talking about feeling Usy. Do you feel Usy?
Feeling
Usy. And I'm working on something. And you're working on something. You think it's going to work?
It's going to... I'll tell you. But we won't spoil anything too much.
Okay.
But, let's just say the newest hot duet in music is no longer Simon and Garfunkel. It's a very distinct possibility that it could be Dave and Zane, the Turnbuckle Trash Twins, or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be.
Oh, yeah, we're working on something. That should be fun. So,
yes, Dave did work on something, and I have listened to it several times and laughed. I listened to it three times on the way home the other day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm sitting there going, man, this is pretty bad. But we'll get it better. We'll get it better.
It was great. It was great. God.
Next podcast. Podcast, we're going to have it done.
It's going to be great. And Dave has worked really hard. I don't know. Have you worked very hard on it?
No, I don't. I don't work hard on anything. I'm retired.
Let's just say Dave is right up there with, I don't know, who else is a lyric? It's the Daves, the lyricist geniuses, Dave Mustaine and Dave Denton.
And Paul McCartney, Elton John. I'm right up there with them, baby. I've been writing songs all my life, All my life. Really? No, I haven't. So I'm not very I can carry a tune, but I'm not very musical, if you know what I mean. So
I thought it was pretty good, and I had no idea, Dave, that you had. I knew you've been in the music business and industry for your whole entire life, but I didn't know that you enjoyed performing.
Oh, I don't like singing in public, but I can carry a tune, and I've done karaoke a few times, and I'll have to see if I can find a karaoke event that I recorded three songs and send it to you. I don't know if I can find it, but I'll try to. So, cause it's pretty wild, and it turned out pretty good. So
real quick, why don't you just kind of fill me in and do your 90-second rundown on AEW and WWE and the things like that are popping out to you right now. Start with AEW.
Okay, AEW has their full gear promotion was really good when they did their pay-per-view. And the return of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks was met with, you know, a really hot crowd because they're starting to use Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas as their entrance theme right now. And Tony Khan has to pay a lot of money. Chris and I talked about that, how that works in the last podcast. But they've come back. There's been conflicting information about CM Punk, whether he is still under contract or Tony Khan has bought his contract out. The hot rumor right now has to do with Sir William Regal. Regal passed MJF some brass knucks, and MJF hit John Moxley to win the All Elite title. But now there's rumors out there since MJF turned on Regal that Regal did this. They're all setting this up so he can leave to go back to the WWE. You know, that's internet rumor. Take it, leave it. I don't put a lot of credence in it. Happens. I don't care one way or the other. Just don't care. But then the All-Atlantic champion right now is one of your favorites, and it is Orange Cassidy. And he defended his belt on Friday Night Rampage, and he did that against QT Marshall in that lumberjack match. What was funny about this is Orange is using this this championship belt as a way to, you know, put over his character. He just doesn't care, you know, whatever you want to do. Yeah, we'll do this lumberjack. And, you know, he's just going through with this character, and he's really over, but he does have a championship title right now. Then there's some best of seven series going on right now between the Elite and the Death Triangle, and that has been really good. And if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, because Death Triangle has been using a hammer to win two out of three so far, and it's a best of seven. So we'll see how that goes. In the WWE, the Survival Series, War Games, I'll tell you this, because you and I have watched War Games in the past, from WCW to NXT. It was a fine War Games. Both the matches, women's and men's, were fine, but not near as good as the last two War Games on NXT, which were killer. But they were fine. I mean, I'm not trying to compare, but a lot of people, you know, saying, oh, it was the best War Games ever. Nah. It was good, but not the best War Games ever. And then feeling oozy with what's going on with Roman Reigns. And evidently Roman got slapped by Kevin Owens, and it might have done some damage to his ear. The slap might have not hit exactly right. That's just something I read this afternoon. And they're getting ready for their next pay-per-view in January. I think it's the Royal Rumble. And NXT is... they're still putting out some pretty good product in NXT. I watch all 3 hours of Raw. I watch 2 hours of NXT, 2 hours of AEW, and then I watch 2 hours of SmackDown, the hour of Rampage, WOW, the Women of Wrestling with Rekha on there. I watch those every week, and then I'm on every once in a while late at night watching YouTube with some NWA or maybe Major League Wrestling. Sometimes, man, I go, I got to slow down. I got a life. So, but yeah, I really enjoy it. I enjoy it. So.
That's good. Well, yeah, I just want to reiterate real quick before we close her down here how great of a time we had at Devotion Championship Wrestling here in Salt Lake, here in Utah. And if anybody that's listening, if you can go out and support and find your local professional wrestling event, go, please do. Go for it. You know, you won't regret. You know, never once have I gone to an event. And I've been to some events that weren't super crisp and weren't super clean. And you've been to some events. I mean, the one where the ring collapsed, right?
The first match.
So Dave's been to some pretty... some pretty iffy events too, but
right.
You know, we don't focus on those. We just focus on the positive ones and the positive ones that we see and how fun they are. Right. And so go take your kids, take your friends, whoever you got out there, and go enjoy a local, you know, pro wrestling event.
And also, if you have cable TV or Dish Network or whatever, and if you have Vice, you know, they've done the Dark Side of the Ring for years, and now there's a new show that's produced by The Rock that's called Tales of the Territory. And their very last new episode for this year is coming up this week. But they've done Memphis Wrestling, AWA. They've done Canadian Wrestling, Polynesian Wrestling. You know, just the 1 hour telling stories with some of the old-timers. And they just did Crockett Promotions this past week. They talked steadily for quite a few minutes about the plane crash that Ric Flair got his back broken in. And David Crockett almost died, and they had one person that did pass away in that plane crash. And, you know, Memphis Wrestling, they had a whole hour about the Andy Kaufman-Jerry Jerry Lawler feud, which was just fascinating to watch these things. So I recommend doing that, and I'm still loving Young Rock. Young Rock on NBC makes me laugh every week. Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Love it, love it, love it. Well, get out there, watch some wrestling, enjoy, you know, enjoy it. And, you know, it is a great time to be a wrestling fan right now. So everybody should be really into wrestling again. You know, is wrestling going down, Dave?
Nah. Exactly. Not right now. It'll go up and down a little bit, but it'll never completely leave us. Never.
Never, ever, 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 ever. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. And adios, mofos and such.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Because I'm not feeling very oozy. Other situations that we shall not talk about at this time.
I know. He was a tall, lean, mean dude. I'm going to give you a diamond cutter, okay? Oh, crap. Oh, my gosh, I love your name. I guess I'm just an idiot. Somebody there was a slight bit. It's like, oh, it's only 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, they had a little bit too much nog in their eggnog, huh?
You know, I wonder. He is an ugly sucker. I mean, tattoos all over. Yes.
That was Zane Peterson, who lives in central Utah, not the Dave Denton who lives in northern Utah.
But, I mean, Dave's always treated his ladies with respect.
That's
know?
Right, baby. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, baby.
Oh, thank you so much. And, that was so nice. And Josh Alexander is like, hey, why can't you say something like that to me?
Because you ugly, Josh. You be ugly.
They're a little bit dirty, but wow. It's a very distinct possibility that it could be Dave and Zane, the Turnbuckle Trash Twins, or something like that.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny F***ing K.
It won't seem like Christmas without opening up a giant credit card bill in January.